Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18 for our devotion before we pray tonight. Luke chapter 18. Several lessons in Luke chapter 18 regarding our prayer lives. In this chapter tonight, Jesus teaches us in a parable about an attitude, the right attitude that we're supposed to have in prayer. And all of these things, all of these lessons on prayer are to help us to develop the right kind of prayer life. When we pray, we want our prayers answered. Amen. And we need to have the right attitude. The parable I want to look at tonight is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And Jesus gives us the purpose for this particular parable in Luke chapter 18 in verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So here Jesus told the parable to reveal to us a principle for answered prayer. All of us want to have our prayers answered. God gives us so many different principles on how we can assure that that happens. Now, this particular parable can be divided up into three parts. We're going to see in this parable people. We're going to see their prayers. And then we're going to also see a principle that the Lord leaves us with. And Jesus begins this parable by saying in verse 10, he says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." So we have two guys that go up to the temple, and they are total opposites, right? The Pharisees, this Pharisee, as you know, actually was a part of the Jewish religious and political party, known for their separation from the Greek culture. The word Pharisee means separated ones. And of all the Jews, the Pharisees were the most respected. We see the Pharisees from our perspective, right? And we don't have a very good view of the Pharisees. But in the first century, if you were a Jew in the first century, you would have thought that the Pharisees were the most religious people. They would have been the ones that you would have respected because they would have been the conservatives. They were Jewish conservatives. They kept the letter of the law and they faithfully followed the rituals of purity. And so they would have been concerned about those things. But see, they kept the letter of the law with exactness, but they really missed the spirit of the law. Pharisees were very religious men. This man would have been considered very religious. He felt very comfortable in the house of God. He felt very comfortable being around God's people in the presence of God. They were sincerely religious, but Jesus told them in Matthew 21 and verse 31, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Now that would have been quite a shocking statement to say to these religious people, right? But what Jesus told these devout, moral, and religious Jews is that it would be easier for a dishonest tax collector and a prostitute to enter into the kingdom of God than they. Now, was Jesus glorifying those things? Of course not. He wasn't glorifying dishonesty or their immorality. But he was simply saying that sinful people who admit their sin and recognize their wretchedness and are willing to repent, they are more likely to be able to get into heaven than those that are trusting in their own self-righteousness through some religion, some activity that they're doing. So we have this Pharisee. He came up. And on the other hand, we have the publican. And a publican in the first century was a tax collector. This man would have had exactly the opposite reputation than the Pharisee. You remember that in the first century, Israel was a Roman occupied territory. And the Roman system for taxation was pretty simple, but it led to terrible corruption. And what would happen is a province would be assigned to a tax collector who turned in the highest bid. And the Romans were pretty slick. They would use the people of that nation to collect their taxes for them. And so what these Jews would do with is they would say, look, I can collect this much, or I'll collect this much and give it to Rome. And whoever said they could collect the most would get that province from Rome. Well, the tax collector would turn in to the Roman government the specified amount that they agreed upon, and he could take in more if he wanted, and all that he took in over that, the surplus, he would collect as his own. And so these tax collectors became very rich, very corrupt, and very hated by the people of God. It's like the worst of the Jews would be those that sought after these kind of jobs. So not only were they considered crooks, but they were considered to be traitors of the people of God, since they would go out and they would collect taxes for their captors. And it's kind of interesting to think that one of Jesus's disciples was a publican, wasn't he? Who was that? That's right, Matthew. Matthew was a publican. So here's the Pharisee and the publican. They both come to the temple at the same time on the same day. And what Jesus is doing here, he's evaluating these men. Now, again, keep in mind, from the eyes of human beings, these men were totally different. But humans would evaluate these men much differently than God does. And so here Jesus gives his evaluation of this. And so let's look, first of all, at how he evaluates their prayers. In verse 11, Jesus says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" And the phrase, "he prayed and stood and prayed," means that he came to a very prominent place in the temple. He wanted to make sure that he was seen by everybody. And so he stood out. And while, as verse 13 tells us, "and the publican standing afar off." The publican stood out of the way. He wasn't in a very prominent place. And the Pharisee prayed with himself. I think that's an interesting phrase. He prayed. Generally, when you pray, you hope you're praying to God, right? So you and God are in this communication. But God made it very clear this guy was just praying with himself. And he was praying about himself. It's kind of like he really didn't go to pray, but he was praying out loud just to announce to whoever could hear him what a good guy he was. He wanted everyone to hear that. As you read his prayer, he certainly was impressed with himself. He thought very highly of himself. He was very thankful he wasn't like those other sinners. It kind of makes you wonder, you know, as a Pharisee, did he ever read any of the scriptures, you know? But anyhow, he thought that he was pretty good. And now, the things that he said about himself may have very well been true, too. Right? I mean, he might have been a good guy. He thanked God that he wasn't a publican, right? In the eyes of everybody else, right? That would have been a good thing. You know, no mama Jew would say, you know, "I want you to grow up to be a publican." No, I want you to grow up to be a Pharisee. And so this guy wasn't a Pharisee. He was better than the tax collector in his own eyes. And, you know, he probably saw the guy, you know, standing afar off saying, "Yeah, you belong over there while you're praying." And, you know, sometimes, folks, it's easy for us to get together and to condemn other people's sins that we're not guilty of. It's easy to do that, isn't it? And what it does, it's a thing that the flesh really enjoys, because we like to elevate ourselves. And the way that we do that is that we jump on other people's sins that we don't commit. But what we oftentimes forget is that Romans 3:10 tells us is that there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners, right, before God. And so actually, we could all play this game where we all look at each other and find each other's faults and then just judge each other, right? What a mess that would be. But anyway, that's what this Pharisee was doing. Now, this Pharisee did pray this in verse 12. He prayed, "I fast twice a week." Now, is fasting bad? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, you know how often the law required Jews to fast? Once a year on the Day of Atonement. And what's this guy doing? Twice a week, right? So he's got to be more spiritual, right? He's praying. That's like 50 times more than what the law required him to do. And so he was a faster, and then he was also a tither. Who could argue with that? Who doesn't like tithers? He says, "I give tithes of all that I possess." And as you know, that means that he gave 10% of all of his income before taxes. He gave that to the work of the Lord. I don't know if you remember years ago, I've seen some around even recently, but there was a bumper sticker that said, "Honk if you love Jesus." And, people would honk if they loved Jesus, I guess. But anyhow, I saw one when I was in South Carolina, and it said, "If you love Jesus, tithe. Anyone can honk." Right? I thought, that's pretty good, right? This Pharisee prayed just to tell God how good he was. But was he guilty of anything? He was guilty of pride, wasn't he? As Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." If you were standing there listening to this guy, who do you think was in his thoughts?
Himself.
He was just thinking about himself, and he was probably feeling pretty good about it. Right? Probably inside he's saying, "Yeah, you are a good guy. Things are going good." His positive perception of himself. Folks, really, pride, isn't that one of the worst sins? I mean, in my opinion, it is one of the worst sins because really it leaves little room for repentance. And God demands that. God demands humility. He demands repentance. And when we're proud, we just make excuses. And you don't have to be a Pharisee to do that. Any believer in Christ can allow themselves to get to that point. But it is the least likely of the sins to be forsaken and confessed. And when it does, it really just chains our hearts, canceling out the good things in our lives. So that's this Pharisee. The Pharisee stood there prominently telling God all the good things that he has done. Well, then we have this publican. And Jesus said that he stood afar off. Now, what's that an indication of? It's an indication of his own, what was that? Yeah, his own shame, his own humility. He didn't feel worthy to come into the presence of the Lord. It'd be kind of like you come into church at a prayer meeting, standing out in the foyer, because you just didn't feel worthy to come in and be in the presence of God's people and God. Now, here's the Pharisee, just filled with self-righteous pride. This publican was filled with shame and with his own sinfulness. Look at the rest of verse 13. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said the publican wouldn't even look up. And you know as well as I do, that countenance, when people are, even when people talk to you and they're not looking you in the eyes and they're looking down on the ground, that's an indication of shame and sorrow and grief in a person's heart, isn't it? And that's what this man was feeling. His eyes were fixed on the floor and he was beating his chest. This wasn't some ritual. This was a sincere indication of the sorrow and grief in his own heart for his own sin. And he was convicted of his sins. And this was a gesture of sorrow and grief. And he came to a place, he came here hoping to have his sins forgiven. The Pharisee, he came to tell everybody that he was sinless. This man came acknowledging his sin. Now, this was a prayer that could be heard, apparently. And so it would have been looked down upon by other Pharisees. But this man didn't pray a long prayer. Now, how many verses does the Pharisee take up? Verse 11 and verse 12, both of those verses are his prayer. But if you look at the publican, he prayed a 7-word prayer. That's all he prayed. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That was it. That's all he had to pray. There are two important words in this prayer. The first one is a sinner. The man is sinner. The man recognized that he was a sinner. The man recognized that there was no good thing in him that merited justification from God. There's no good thing that he could do that would cause God to be pleased with him. And so the publican saw himself as a sinner. He didn't play the blame game, right? He didn't blame his circumstances or his friends or his culture or his family or whatever. He knew that God doesn't forgive excuses. He knew that God forgives sins. The second key word in this little prayer is mercy. Mercy is that we ask not to get what we deserve. When God shows mercy to us, he doesn't give us what we deserve. And that's what he's praying for. You know, when even today, people will throw themselves at the mercy of the court, right? When they're on the court, when they're in the justice system. And what that generally means is that these people recognize that they're guilty, right? But then they're just admitting the wrong, and they're asking that they not be given what they deserve. What they're doing basically when they throw themselves at the mercy of the court, they're asking the court to not give them what they deserve. And folks, that's what we are. That's what we need when we come before God. There's no good thing in any of us to merit God to answer our prayers. And so we've got to go before him and ask him for mercy. How do we obtain this mercy? Well, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 says this: he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's, you want mercy? God tells us if you confess your sins and you forsake those sins, God will give you mercy. That ought to be our attitude towards sin. We ought to look at ourselves as sinners saved by grace. We're sinners. We still have that potential to sin. There's no good thing in us beside the Spirit of God that merits entrance into the presence of God. And also Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, God is not going to give us something that we refuse to give other people. God expects us to be merciful also. Jesus made it clear that this is true of both mercy and forgiveness. We need to be those that are willing to give mercy, so receive mercy. We ought to be willing to forgive so that we receive God's forgiveness also. So we have these two men. We have their prayers, which are so different. Now let's just consider the principle before we actually go together in prayer. Jesus' evaluation of the prayers would have been very shocking to these people, right? As people were listening to what Jesus was saying, they would have assumed in this parable that the Pharisee was the one who would come out on top, right? They would have thought, as he was saying, you know, as this Pharisee was praying, how he tithed and how good he was, the other people around him would have said, yeah, what a great guy. This guy is great. We want to emulate. You know, they'd be pulling their kids and saying, listen, this is what you want to be. And so when Jesus pronounced this principle, they would have been in utter shock. What? You mean the publican comes out to be the good guy in this story? That would never be a Jewish story. That would never make for a good story. So he makes this evaluation in verse 14, considering the tax collector. He says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house, what? Justified. Now, how did the Pharisee leave? Well, I assume he left feeling dignified, right? He left thinking, I nailed that one, right? That was a good prayer. Everybody knows what I... He left dignified, but he didn't leave justified. He left dignified, but not justified. The publican left justified. What does justified mean? To declare righteous. He was declared righteous. It's an act of declaring righteousness. For Christians, it means, of course, that because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, it is just as if I'd never sinned. And it means to be declared righteous. And Jesus ends this parable with this eternal principle at the end of verse 14, where he says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Folks, this principle for answered prayer is simply this. It's coming before God humbly. It's coming before God recognizing who you are before Him. Humble. You know, in the world's eyes, we may be good, moral people. We may even think, well, maybe better even than a lot of people. But Isaiah gives it to us straight, doesn't he? He says that all of our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. Let me tell you something. That's the very best person on earth. In and of himself, the very best person on him on the earth, his righteousness is like filthy rags. Doesn't matter how good he seems. Doesn't matter how kind he is or the activities that he does in this world. His righteousness is as filthy rags. None of us can ever get above that in and of ourselves. Our righteousness will never, ever get to where it needs to be. But if we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he was raised from the dead, all we have to do to be justified, all we have to do to become righteous is basically to pray this prayer, right? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what we're acknowledging in that prayer is that Jesus died for our sins, that we in and of ourselves are sinners and deserve to go to hell. And we're praying, God, we can't do this on our own. We need your mercy. Please don't give us what we deserve, but give us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's believing on him, repenting of our sins, and asking him to save us. And as we go before the throne of grace tonight, may it be with lowly hearts. Folks, when you get up in the morning and you pray, may it be with a humble heart. And then may it also be with appreciating hearts. May there be a lot of praise in our hearts, because God is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that thou would use this brief time just to again familiarize us with the right attitudes we have to have in prayer. Lord, I pray that thou wouldst help us not merely just to come to pray out of duty or to just spend some time saying some words, but help us, Lord, to talk with thee, to pray with thee with the right kind of attitude. And Lord, I pray that we would be like the publican, that we would be repentant of our sins, that we would come before thee seeking thy mercy and seeking thy grace, that we might receive from thee. Lord, thou hast promised that if we exalt ourselves, we'll be abased. But Lord, if we humble ourselves, thou wilt exalt us in a way that would bring honor and glory to thee. We love thee, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.